have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, and on Monday, happy Idahoppy Day.
The International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia, marked worldwide on May 17th.
Yes, so you can look forward to that on Monday, but we have a variety of stories today, some of which are good and some of which are tragic, of course. So,
in the ping-pong world of presidential executive orders, the Biden administration has restored the ban on anti-LGBTQ discrimination in healthcare.
Yeah, very good news. We'll also give you some good news about the first out transgender bishop in a U.S. Christian denomination.
Wonder which one it was. We had a court win in Utah. This is at the Supreme Court there for transgender rights.
We quickly gave you a few details last week about the third Queer Liberation March coming up at the end of June. We'll expand on that a little and talk to you about other Pride plans.
Yeah, that's the one in New York. We lost a friend this week. A friend of the show, a friend of ours, and a friend to our movement, Winston Johnson of Atlanta. He was a leading advocate for LGBTQ rights in the South for decades. And we also lost a young gay activist who died of COVID working to open things up in India, where he had moved.
We also lost a whole new crop of trans women, particularly Black trans women and Latinx, in Florida, Texas, Maryland, Georgia, and El Salvador. And an Iranian man was killed by his own family for being gay.
Horrendous story. Viewer discretion suggested. Canada National Rail relented and granted pension benefits to the same-sex survivor of a longtime employee that we told you about last week.
I'm sure it was our story that got them to do that.
Oh, very powerful.
Sarcasm. Catholic priests in Germany are defying the Vatican and blessing same-sex couples.
Yeah. And there's a new animated feature on Netflix that features an LGBTQ young heroine.
We're everywhere. First of all, we are in the Biden administration, and there is excellent news out of the White House at the end of last week that they are reinstating the non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people in federally funded health care, which is almost everything.
So this was originally done by President Obama, of course, reversed by the Trump administration, which narrowed civil rights protections by defining sex as only your sex assigned at birth, which is insane. The Secretary of HHS, Xavier Becerra, said, everyone, including LGBTQ people, should be able to access health care free from discrimination and interference.
Yeah, it's great news. It really is, because, especially these days, for people to be subject to discrimination in hospitals and from doctors and everything is insane. And that is the way the Trump administration operated. But the Biden administration, one by one, is knocking down these barriers and helping again. There is a lawsuit that challenged that Trump administration order, and that is going to continue because the lawsuit is broader than this new order and deals also with reproductive rights, disabilities, people with HIV need protection from discrimination, and the Trump administration took away their protection, and that needs to be reinstated too. So this is not the end of the story. There is more to do, but this is a great leap forward.
Do you have any other federal stories, or do we go to the states?
Well, the other thing I would note is that the Biden administration also announced that they were interested in letting poor countries bypass patents for vaccines. This has to go through the World Trade Organization. This is a whole thing we went through with HIV medicines decades ago and fighting the U.S. government in the Clinton administration.
And fighting the European Union, which sounds resistant to allowing this. I mean, folks, it's insane. If we don't solve this worldwide, we're not going to solve it. I mean, I read a story, and what about New York? I read a story today that in some nursing homes in New York, where it was devastating, more than half the staff and more than half the residents, and some of them, have still not been vaccinated. And I didn't know this. You can't, they're saying, you can't require vaccination until it's fully approved. We have emergency approval for all these vaccines, but we don't have, like, final approval. Well, folks, get vaccinated. We are.
That's what Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is screaming about. He goes on these Fox shows and says, it hasn't been fully approved. Why would you give it to teenagers? It's what are you doing to people? Well, we're trying to save lives. That's what we're trying to do.
Everybody's lives. Don't work on that. So anyway, okay. So we've told you about, you know, we didn't tell you about every one of them, but there are 133 anti-LGBT bills in the states, 111 targeting trans people. We've told you about a lot of the states where they've passed. One of the worst really seems to be Tennessee. And I don't know if we reported this before, but Jennifer Pritzker, who's the first trans billionaire, is threatening to pull out her businesses, her foundation, out of Tennessee, where she's based. And some associations are saying they're going to move conventions. So now there's a lot of corporate protest, but not a lot of corporate action. Now, the NCAA is going to announce this weekend where they're going to hold their tournaments and their championships. And we're going to know whether they're going to go after some of these states that are against trans people.
Don't hold your breath. They have so many events to hold. They've issued a list of 20 possible states where they will hold them, and there are a lot of discriminatory states on that list.
Well, I mentioned Tennessee, and, you know, it's called the hate slate state because of all the bills that they passed. But this week, they really went unbelievably far. There was just a resolution to honor T.J. Osborne, a symbolic resolution, you know, son of our state, country star. And the GOP...
Or coming out.
Yeah. The GOP shut it down. One person has to object and then it can't go through. And this guy, who's the leader of the Republicans in the House, said, oh, this has to go through committee. Well, the committees aren't meeting anymore for the rest of the year. So I remember this happening in New York 40 years ago when they tried to honor a gay guy and, you know, Republicans put their hands up and stopped it. But this is in the 21st century.
More seriously and with more impact, in Texas, there are 8 anti-LGBT bills advancing, including reconsideration of the anti-trans sports bill that we thought was dead. Nothing dies in these legislatures, and banning medical care for trans youth. In Oklahoma, the governor signed a ban on diversity training.
Oh, yes.
Heaven forbid. And in Montana, the governor signed a ban on trans girls competing as school athletes.
Now, there's a caveat to that. In the bill, they put in a clause that says if the U.S. Department of Education ruled them to be in violation of non-discrimination rules, the law would be automatically rescinded. So, and the Department of Education needs to get busy about that.
Yes, well, we see them marching along step by step.
That's amazing.
They have shown themselves to be on our side, and I'm sure they will get to that.
Well, better news
from Utah. Hold me to that.
Better news from Utah. The state's highest court, the Supreme Court, they overturned a district judge's decision to deny 2 trans people the right to change their birth certificates to reflect their gender identity. The lower court judge had used derogatory anti-trans language in denying the change, And the Supreme Court addressed the appellants with appropriate pronouns, but it took them 3 years to make this decision. That's, you know, justice delayed is justice denied, but they did get finally some justice.
Well, in the surrealism in everyday life category, from Seattle, Franklin Graham said he wanted to hold a dinner to honor cops in Seattle.
But not the police.
Yeah, I think this is adjacent to Portland. I think this is about standing up against Black Lives Matter protesters. I don't know that for sure, but that was the flavor of it. Well, the cops and the mayor said no, thank you.
Police chief said, you can't go to this dinner. He's a bigot. So he actually comes out and says, I'm not anti-gay. God, he's got this.
And why were we in Central Park last year protesting his bringing a tent to Mount Sinai?
He went after Pete Buttigieg for existing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a long record. But also in political news, the lovely Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, well, okay, let me dig that up. All right. So, you know, you know that she's running for governor of California. So this week she went in front on with Sean Hannity for the entire hour, his exclusive, until CNN got her, and just took every right-wing position you can imagine. And if she didn't, Hannity corrected her, and she said, oh, yeah. But then she goes on CNN, and Dana Bash, you know, says, who'd you vote for in 2020? Oh, I didn't vote. I was out playing golf. I figured, what the heck? Doesn't really matter, you know, who you vote for in California for president. And the propositions on the ballot didn't interest me.
Well, in some states now, with the new voter suppression laws, she'd be kicked off the voting rolls for not voting frequently enough.
Well, she has, here's the thing. She said she didn't vote. They looked it up. She did vote. So she's a liar, which is how you get elected in the Republican Party.
It is.
But so Dana Bash said, why should, you know, you're asking, you don't vote. She didn't vote in 2/3 of the elections that she's been eligible for. Mm-hmm. You know, why should people vote for you? And she said, because I'm cute and adorable. Now, she is polling at 6%.
I've been telling you this, but you insist on bringing her up again and again.
Well, I mean, and this is like, well, she's a great danger to transgender rights at this point.
Absolutely.
She's
not going anywhere politically.
Okay.
I know you don't believe me.
Well, you're the one who told me. Well, I do trust you because you're the one who said that Trump was viable.
So let's move on to Sugar Land, Texas.
All right.
Students at a school there.
Oh, yeah.
Were just out happily chalking little LGBT flags and symbols on the sidewalk, having a great time, when an angry teacher came along, apoplectic at what they were doing. Let's roll the videotape.
Parents at Satarsha Middle School are concerned about a teacher's alleged reaction to chalk art. The teacher apparently wrote over the students' drawings of gay pride flags. Our Roseanne Aragon is live outside of that school in Sugar Land with an update tonight. So, Roseanne, what does this new video show us?
Yeah, that video coming to us from parents, you actually see the teacher drawing on top of the chalk art, and you actually hear what the teacher says.
Your sign is as bad as mine.
A teacher at Satarsha Middle School seen drawing this hetero's rule sign over gay pride and LGBT flags, which students drew during their free period. You hear the teacher.
You all put yours on the sidewalk and offended me, so now I'm going to offend you. But did that fix anything?
No, but see, the thing is...
Students trying to respond.
But the point of the conversation was, don't fly the flag. The point was, you don't have to fly the flag because this is an inappropriate place. Because nobody's flying these flags.
Then in another video.
Don't freak out on me yet. Just admit and then nothing.
The teacher says,
since y'all are a community of lovers, this is going to be your job, clean it up. Go. That's how we're doing it.
When the students resist,
I'm the adult. You're a child. You're going to listen to what this adult says and you don't get in trouble. The words made it inappropriate. None of you can disappear, and if you try me, I'll hunt you down and make it worse. Okay? If you clean it up, we act like it never happened.
Some of the words shown: bisexual, demisexual, lesbian, non-binary, ally.
The words were unnecessary. That's what I said. Labels are unnecessary. I thought y'all heard that, but you didn't.
Now, the district stated to us yesterday that it requires an atmosphere of honor, inclusion, support, and respect be fostered on all campuses. They also said that they could not comment further because this issue involves personnel. I reached out to them again today. They say they have no further updates as of right now.
I have an updated word for her. Bigot. Wow. She's something.
Unbelievable.
What happened?
That's tough. Talk about a power differential and the abuse of power.
Right. Of course, those were when Ann and I used to do classes on homosexuality. We would ask the kids for all the words that they knew about gay people. Some of them were not even nice, but we put them up there so people would understand and the things that you hear about us. And nobody said hetero's rule to us.
Well, they did, but. But we had invited that conversation.
Yes.
This is a nice group of kids trying to do positive things and being horrendously abused by that teacher, who I hope is out of a job very quickly.
Well, they did a nice thing in Mesa, Arizona. They passed an LGBT rights law. And then the radical right, the religious right, got in gear, and they did collect enough signatures, not a huge number, but enough signatures to put it on the ballot. And when they heard they were going to be challenged in court by everybody over this, they said, we can't stand up to these powerful forces, and they withdrew their petition.
Well, speaking of court, the Supreme Court, which is dicey these days, announced that they will not hear an appeal by a female West Point cadet who had been raped. And the rationale for that was that you can't sue the federal government for an injury incident to military service.
Wow.
So the Supreme Court is defining rape as incident to military service. Now, of course, LGBT people in the military are disproportionately raped. So there's an impact of that. And who was the one person who voted for hearing the case? I hope you're sitting down.
I am.
Clarence Thomas.
I thought you might say that.
Shocking, but true.
Well.
And who was arguing for not hearing the case? The Biden administration solicitor general, a woman. Really shocking stuff.
Well, at least to some extent, the police are on our side in Atlanta. They held a press conference this week and said, guys, at least 8 people have been held up at gunpoint who have used Grindr since February. They call it a concerning pattern. The men are lured to a remote spot to meet the person they're supposed to meet, and then they get robbed at gunpoint. One guy had his car stolen by the perpetrator. So be on the lookout for this. Don't meet in remote places. Meet in public places where other people can see. These are the guidelines for meeting strangers, folks.
Well, we've been hearing stories like this for years around the world, literally in countries around the world and certainly all over the United States. And GLAAD came out with a report this week about the danger of social media. And, they said social media isn't safe for any LGBTQ people because of harassment and hatred, but not one word about Grindr and the violence that people are subjected to by these phony pickups and these seduction schemes. And I was happy to see them identifying hate speech and threats on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and such. But I think these robbery and violence schemes on Grindr are horribly dangerous and should be highlighted.
Absolutely. Everyone needs to be educated about these things. There's so much that needs to be in sex education and in social media use education. I mean, I've always said that, young people should be taught about the age of consent laws, because if they violate them, they'll be on a sex offense registry for the rest of their lives. If they're 18 and they're going with someone who's 16 in some states, that kind of stuff, that should all be part of it.
And I want financial literacy taught. I want that class for myself.
You do.
We need a complete overhaul of educational curricula.
Well, I don't know if anybody can figure it out. Speaking of cops, I was sort of pleasantly surprised to see that the Anti-Violence Project in New York, for LGBT people, has a Cops Out of Pride campaign. Is this new, Anne?
Yes, it is. It is brand new, and it comes in reaction to what happened last summer with the police, NYPD violence against, and they specify all of these, the Black Lives Matter marches, the Reclaim Pride Queer Liberation March, which was attacked at the end by cops, and there was one more, which I'm forgetting.
Well, but what I like is that they're pushing safety without cops at Pride and in LGBTQ communities. You know, we get told the answer, and of course this comes up in the mayoral campaign and all these kinds of things, that the solution to this is just more policing. Ever since the Boston Marathon, bombing and things, there's been so many police on every public event. But does it make people safer or just constrict us? And, can't we take care of some of these things ourselves by just being watchful?
Well, I offer the Queer Liberation March as, example number one, a completely peaceful march. But as we got to Washington Square Park, the police freaked out and attacked with batons and pepper spray.
And to some extent, during the march, they said, we got a pride parade to police, so you're on your own, right? There was some of that. It was not as heavily policed as pride marches have been.
Oh, no, there wasn't a Pride March last year.
I'm thinking of the year before. I'm just
well,
saying.
We were happy about that.
Yes.
We begged them not to come, and for the most part, they didn't. But the point is that they attacked the Black Lives Matter marches. The Attorney General of New York and other states put out reports about how violently the police brutalized peaceful marchers across the board. And we were one example of that. So to have AVP start this Cops Out of Pride campaign is really terrific. What they're asking for is remove the NYPD from New York City Pride, whether it's the Pride Parade or the Queer Liberation March, defund the NYPD by shifting resources to the LGBTQIA plus community and Black-led groups providing alternatives for community safety.
Good.
It's great to see a community organization of their standing and length of service, which has worked so closely with the police department over the years, come out with this.
I especially think when you get a lot of the young people of today and their consciousness coming into these groups saying, hey, and people are standing up for themselves, like women standing up for themselves in the acting profession and people of color in the acting profession, those kind of things. They're creating a new dynamic there.
I hope so. There will be a Queer Liberation March 3 here in New York on June 27th, Pride Sunday, as the standard Pride Parade again operates mostly online. Yes. And we'll be gathering at Bryant Park at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, stepping off at 3, making our way down 7th Avenue through Sheridan Square to Washington Square Park for a rally with speakers, performers, hanging out, just enjoying a summer day, I hope. And starting later, maybe a little less hot. The route is a little less long. We're trying to make, and it's fully accessible. There will be buses for those who want them and wheelchairs. where there are accessible subways at both ends of the march, all of that, and ASL interpretation. And
we welcome out-of-towners. We welcome everybody to participate. And Bryant Park, for those of you who don't know, is the park behind the New York Public Library, 42nd Street between 5th and 6th, the green expanse. They've actually had Pride rallies there before.
Sure, for years.
Many kinds of rallies, but Pride rallies.
In L.A., they have canceled the regular Pride March. They're going to do virtual events, including a big concert. But people in many places are still taking a year off from marching in the streets. But we have found at Reclaim Pride that we can do it safely, except for the police. And we're going to continue to do that because we think it is urgent to be out in the streets.
All right. A couple of positive notes. Lexington, Kentucky has banned conversion therapy. 20% of Kentuckians are now covered by local laws protecting us. And Vermont has banned LGBTQ panic defenses, the 14th state to do so.
And also on a positive note, the new bishop of Evangelical Lutherans in San Francisco at
Sacramento. Well, it's Northern and Central California.
That may be the
synod
territory, but she's in San Francisco. Okay. I'm sorry, it's they.
Megan
Rohrer, 41 years old, currently the pastor at Grace Lutheran Church, and also the community chaplain coordinator for the San Francisco Police Department.
Well, it's a six-year term. The presiding bishop of the Lutheran Church, Reverend Elizabeth Easton, praised their gifts. When we say all are welcome, we mean all are welcome. They were once barred from the church because of anti-LGBT policies. Times have changed. Rohrer is married to a woman named Laurel, and they have two kids.
And Megan is well known for working with the homeless and also appeared on the Queer Eye series.
Wow.
You may recognize them from there.
Okay. Well, and of course, we have really a tremendous number of murders to report, some of which we missed last week. But let's go through them, and this has obviously gotten completely out of hand. In Clearwater, Florida, Kerry Washington, 49 years old, found dead behind an apartment building. 59-year-old Arthur Benjamin, known to the victim and with an extensive criminal history, is wanted for first-degree murder.
In Dallas, Texas, trans woman Tiffany Thomas, age 38, shot dead, described as funny, stylish, having a big heart.
That's being investigated as a homicide, which it was. Yeah. In Pennsylvania, an indigenous non-binary person, Whispering Wind Bear Spirit, 41, was shot to death in York, Pennsylvania.
Describe themselves as Shawnee by birth and Potawatomi by relations. And late word on a couple of others. In Baltimore, Maryland, Danny Henson, a black trans woman, murdered, maybe by someone she knew, someone she may have been seen. Waiting for more details on that.
And in the Atlanta suburbs, 36-year-old Latina trans woman Sophie Vasquez was killed.
Also shot dead.
In an apartment complex, and they don't clear her. She had a funeral in South Carolina on May the 10th.
It feels like the numbers are growing exponentially. It is.
Again, part of it is these things. I think these things were always happening. The people were misgendered and we never heard about them.
Right.
Thanks to people like the late Monica Roberts, who got to the bottom of these stories and always wanted to know what happened. We do know about them. And the answer is partly, obviously, to heal prejudice, but also to provide more opportunities for these folks in the world.
But it is amazing that as we report these stories week after week, we hear virtually nothing about any organized effort to do anything about it.
Well, as I say, it's really advancing the status of transgender people. And what do we hear instead from these states, which is you're the whipping people, we're the people we're going to whip and put down.
Well, as our associate producer, Bill Ballman, sent us a note this week saying, you know, the Asian community has all this system now of escorts and alerts and whatever, but there is no finite trans community to protect like that. Right. These are individual people widely scattered.
Right. I want to talk about a study that I read about this week. I don't know if you saw it from Jack Drescher, the therapist.
Yeah.
Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Now, listen, they found that a consistent response from parents is key to gay and lesbian mental health, even if it's negative. That if the parents start out negative and they go positive, you still have a lot of issues because, well, they rejected you, you were getting on with your life. Now they're saying they want you back, but maybe they're still in their anti-LGBT religion. So consistency is the key to mental health. All this by way of saying, folks, if you've got kids, accept them from the get-go, do your best, put on a good face, you know, accept them. That's what's going to give them less anxiety and depression in their lives.
Yeah, it was a study of anxiety and depression. It was presented at the American Psychiatric Association meeting. And a few hundred kids, and they asked them about their levels of anxiety and depression and their situation with their parents, and that's what they found.
Right. All right, we have some other losses to tell you about.
Yeah.
First of all, Winston Johnson, who was, I said, from Atlanta, who was a leading gay activist there and in the South for decades. He died at the age of 79 of cancer, and he was predeceased by his partner of 42 years, Leon Allen. Now, we've known him for years. He became friends in 1968 with Coretta Scott King. And this is from 1986, the Human Rights Campaign Fund dinner. He got her to be the keynote speaker. And
he worked for Eastern Airlines as a sort of celebrity greeter and escort and driver. Mm-hmm. And he happened to be at the Atlanta airport the day after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. Right. And she was coming through and he ended up talking to her. And he was driving someone who was a friend of hers. And so they all ended up meeting and talking, and he drove the friend to the house, and he developed a friendship with Coretta Scott King. And so he did get her to come to the HRC dinner in New York at the Waldorf in 86. And she got up and said, "My dear friend Winston Johnson asked me to be here this evening, and I'm here to express my solidarity with the gay and lesbian movement." And that was pretty stunning to have Coretta Scott King say that in 1980s.
I was there and, of course, was very moved. I was there to pick up an award for the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights because we passed the gay rights bill that year. And I thought Coretta would be long gone by that point, but she was sitting there. But I went ahead with my speech anyway, and I condemned Mario Cuomo, our governor, for being more concerned about, I said the word, can I say this, a word for oral sex, a common word, than he is about solving this epidemic, and we're having a demonstration against him on Monday. So I'd said this coarse word. And Winston went all a flutter around Mrs. King, and, oh, my God, that guy, you know, we are so sorry, didn't mean to offend you. And she
we're
said,
still saying that about you, Andy.
And she said, "I'm a big girl. I've heard it all before." But anyway, he's been very involved with the Human Rights Campaign Fund, which is now HRC, and helped organize the first dinner in Atlanta in 1988.
They named an award after him.
Down there, all rightly proud of all the progress that Georgia was making all these years.
Yeah.
He knew the Carters. So he was a big part of making happen what happened down there.
a lifelong activist and very effective and a totally nice guy.
Also involved in the Right to Die movement.
Yes. As he fought cancer for the last 20 years, first prostate cancer and then bladder cancer, he became very involved in that.
Right.
And asked, in fact, that people who were remembering him make donations to, what is it, Compassionate Voices?
Yes. Then there, we read about, you know, they profiled people who died of COVID around the world in the Times, and we read about James Williams. He's a 35-year-old gay activist from Alabama. He died of COVID in India. He met an Indian man, Ayush Thakur, there in 2017, and he moved there to be with him. And at his death, he was working on creating a sitcom modeled on Will and Grace, which had, he thinks, made such an impact in the United States, so that India could have the same experience. He was seriously working on this. He also, his parents died when he was a young child. He launched an oral history project interviewing their friends in Alabama, always starting the interview by saying, "You know I'm gay, right?" in Alabama. He was working on getting a visa for Mr. Thakur so that they could marry here and settle in Los Angeles.
He died very suddenly, I think, like 4 days after his diagnosis.
Very rough over there, you know, with that variant.
Yeah.
Look out for it. It's, some of it is already here.
Yes. Now, someone who lived a much longer life, Pat Bond. Pat died at age 94. He was the founder of the Eulenspiegel Society.
Eulenspiegel.
potato, potato. It was, he put an ad in the Village Voice in 1970 asking for people who, like him, were sexual masochists to contact him to start a support group.
For everybody, heterosexual and homosexual, who was into S&M.
And eventually they added the dominant half of the equation and others and formed this group. This is from 1973 March. They joined the Christopher Street Liberation Day parade marches. And he was a... He was a pioneer because he brought sexual difference out of the closet and gave it respectability and was forthright and unashamed and formed this group to be really a support group.
The movement was in the beginning mostly about sexual liberation, and they were a part of that. And they were totally in solidarity with the LGBTQ movement.
We've lost some of that freedom, I think.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to move on to international news?
Yes. Well, update from Canada. Last week we told you about Ken Hare, who was a survivor of a longtime employee of Canada National Rail. He will get his late partner's pension now. They relented after all the publicity. Now, don't forget, he'd been fighting for this for what, 10 years, longer?
Longer, I think.
His partner, Jerry Schwartz, their excuse was, well, Jerry retired when there was no same-sex marriage a long time ago. So
it's Ken on the right, Jerry on the left. And congratulations to Ken for persisting. And I'm glad that once this went public, CN Rail relented pretty fast.
Right.
In Serbia, the president, President Vucic, will not sign a bill passed by the parliament legalizing same-sex unions. He calls it unconstitutional because the constitution only allows opposite-sex marriage. But the bill does not try to legalize same-sex marriage, just same-sex unions. So he's another one of these right-wing liars.
In Germany, dozens of lesbian moms are suing to reform the civil code that does not recognize lesbian co-parents. Now, only biological mothers are put on the birth certificate. And the female, if you have a female partner, they must go through a formal adoption process to be the second parent, even if the couple is married.
And meanwhile, there you are as a parent of a child, but if you have no rights, good luck making any medical decisions for the child, educational decisions. You are just a non-entity.
Some of the families of some of the women who were involved with this. Two of the cases are headed for the federal constitutional court. Now, legislative action on this is unlikely before the September 26th national election, where Angela Merkel's successor is going to be elected.
In Uganda, Parliament has criminalized same-sex sex, sex work, HIV-positive sex. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights declares themselves troubled by this.
Well, I mean, they already have draconian laws against gay people.
They're doubling down, demanding.
And they're going to punish family members who don't turn you in.
Right. And in Taiwan, good news, a court has okayed a marriage of a Taiwanese guy and his Macau husband. Even though the Taiwan laws still say that you cannot marry someone from a country that does not legalize same-sex marriage. But so this is a step forward that they're saying this is okay, but it only applies in this case, and the government has to make a change for it to work for everybody.
And this is kind of shocking news out of Germany, where more than 100 Roman Catholic parishes offered blessings to gay couples on Monday in defiance of the Pope and the Vatican, which recently said, you can't bless sin. They picked May 10th because of its association with, get this, Noah and the Ark, when the Bible is recognized by his God with a rainbow. Now, of course, our LGBTQ symbol. The head of the bishops in Germany said he found the blessings by the priests unhelpful. maybe that's pretty mild as opposed to sin.
The Catholic Church, a mess.
But I've always said, if you object to these policies, these anti-gay policies, do something, and they're doing it.
They are. Yeah. They're quite bold, these German Catholic priests. In Croatia, the court has okayed the adoption of two boys being raised by a gay male couple. Also very forward-looking. Thank you, Croatia.
But not in El Salvador, where another trans woman was murdered, Zashi Zuli Del Cid. Now, she was an activist, shot in San Miguel, April 24th. She was working in an area where sex workers gather, but she did grassroots advocacy. UNHCR has condemned the murder. And it aided the local trans group there to provide Del Cid with assistance and housing after criminal elements forced her from her home. She entered a training program for entrepreneurs. She wanted to run a beauty salon. Her family did not want LGBT people at her funeral and misgendered her, but they relented a bit at the end.
And in Iran, Ali Fazeli Montferrad, 20 years old, got himself exempted from the military because he's gay. Well, the card that designated that was found by his relatives, and several of them got together and murdered him.
Took him out to the country and beheaded him.
Mm-hmm.
He had, they dumped his body outside the city, but three suspects were arrested for this murder, which is something.
I think two of them were his brothers.
And cousins as well.
And he got exempted from the military because of moral and sexual depravities, such as transsexualism. Right. Evidently, they thought he was cross-dressing, too.
It's not a good place to be if you're LGBTQ. Yeah. In the United Kingdom, Queen Elizabeth opened Parliament and outlined the plans of her conservative government, including, she said the words, banning conversion therapy. But Boris Johnson's government has not followed through on trans rights, and the program that he announced is full of anti-democratic measures and further bloating of the military.
In Bolivia, the justice minister put out an announcement that they are going to legalize same-sex marriage as required by the 2017, 4 years ago, Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruling that mandated that Central and South American countries legalize same-sex marriage. Bolivia says it is moving forward on that.
Good. In Wales, they have what they're saying is the world's first non-binary mayor. Check me on this. Owen Hercombe, 23, was elected mayor of Bangor, a population 16,000, also the country's youngest mayor. They describe themselves as agender and genderqueer. They had been deputy mayor and a counselor, came out 2 years ago, worried about being ostracized, but wasn't, was elected mayor.
In Japan, controversy continues to swirl around the coming Olympics. The International Olympic Committee mandates that countries that hold the Olympics have non-discrimination laws or policies in place. Now, Japan has no anti-discrimination laws that cover LGBT people, but they now have proposed a bill that will promote understanding of LGBT people. But
get that out of the Republican Congress here.
Well, that too, or certainly not in Tennessee, but no actual law. So this is raising some questions around the Olympics, especially since New Zealand may send a trans weightlifter who is expected to qualify for the New Zealand team because her testosterone levels have tested lower than the upper limit for women weightlifters. So
yeah, I keep having to explain this to people, including some of my people who would think they're more liberal. They said, but, you know, you can just show up and say you're a girl and then you can participate in women's, girls or women's sports. I said, no, you know, the NCAA, the Olympics, they have all kinds of requirements around around hormone levels, and they always have. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, the German women swimmers being given DNA tests and things like that, whatever. It all sounded kind of weird, but it's nothing new.
No. In Poland, a couple of new bad things. The police have issued a guide that lists LGBT being LGBT as a social pathology. I don't know if that means they're arrestable. Maybe so in Poland. But Poland and Hungary got together in a European Union meeting to force a new declaration of human rights from the European Union to drop the term gender equality because they were afraid it could be interpreted as sanctioning LGBT people.
Did Mike Pompeo chair the meeting? I remember at the march for the extending the ratification of ERA a long time ago, and Betty Friedan getting up and saying, gender, you know, non-discrimination or the ERA does not mean homosexual marriages and unisex bathrooms.
Well, because that's what Phyllis Schlafly was touting.
But Betty Friedan.
Yeah, we're always fighting the right wing. We're put in defensive positions. We have got to stop allowing ourselves to be put in.
I remember being in a hearing on the gay rights bill 1 year we lost. And somebody got up and testified and say, next they're going to want same-sex, they're going to want gay marriage. And we hadn't even thought about it at that time. And we said, and we just went, yeah.
So you're saying it's the right wing that invented same-sex marriage.
Yes, they did. All right, where are we? Okay.
Cuba, we're in Cuba. Okay. Speaking of same-sex marriage. So a couple of years ago, Cuba was rewriting its constitution and legalizing same-sex marriage became an issue. And And the government ended up taking it out of the proposed new constitution with the acquiescence of Mariela Castro, who's supposed to be our big best friend. Well, now they're moving on to the next phase. They're going to pass a new family code, but it has to go to the voters, and it may include same-sex marriage. This will be in July. They'll be looking at it. But in the midst of all this, it turns out that in 2018, when they were discussing the revised constitution, there was a public poll taken on the subject of same-sex marriage, which found 70% of the population approving of it, and the poll results were concealed from the public by Mariela Castro, who is really a stooge for the government, even though she purports to run
this. The Castros were out of power.
Wow.
End of the Castros. All right. Any AIDS news? AIDS news?
I got nothing.
Well, I mean, the AIDS Walk is going to be a star-studded virtual event on Sunday, May 16th.
Yeah.
In New York and San Francisco, honoring Elton John and David Furnish and featuring Billy Porter and Margaret. Haven't heard of her in a while. Rita Moreno, Tony Goldwyn, Rosie Perez, George Takei, and many others. You just go to AIDSWalk.net and you can watch the show.
It sounds lovely. All great people. Where are the young people?
There are a couple. I didn't recognize their names, so
you
know. No, kidding. There are many others.
Okay.
Go to the link. Maybe someone who's not an Alta Kaka is on the list.
Oh, and the Reclaim Pride Coalition Queer Liberation March will also be live streamed. The march, the rally, pre-taped interviews with people, speakers and performers at the rally. We'll give you more details as we get closer. But if you want to get involved, go to reclaimpridenyc.org. We can still use a lot of help on this.
Entertainment news?
Yes.
Well, Ellen is ending her show in 2022, says it's not a challenge anymore. Been doing it for like 19 years. We'll continue through the next season. She's apparently discussing this with Oprah tomorrow or something. But of course, you want a challenge? Come on over.
You're the one reading People magazine these days.
I didn't read this in People, but Ellen, you want a challenge? Try to do this show.
Yes, off the cuff. Well, she's pretty, I think she does a lot of unscripted stuff.
Yeah.
But she's welcome to sit in as a co-host.
Great. There you go.
Yeah.
Hope she's watching.
I was very excited to see that HBO is going to do some version, a series, movie, whatever, of the E. Lynn Harris Invisible Life books, the trilogy from many years ago, the 90s. The books were, he died in 2009, black gay man, very famous in the 20th century as an author. Seems like a long time ago. Invisible Life, Just As I Am, This Too Shall Pass, very, very popular novels. Black, bisexual, AIDS, and it's about a lawyer and his self-discovery over these books. So that should be terrific on HBO. I don't know who's going to make it, but I think that's good news.
All right, here's something for the young people. A new animated feature on Netflix, The Mitchells versus The Machine. It features
very young people.
Features a daughter, Katie Mitchell. She's there on the lower left, who was voiced by Out Abby Jacobson as a queer teen who, with her family, is trying to save the world from evil robots. Her orientation is celebrated and accepted by the family, where the mom is played by Maya Rudolph. Other voices are provided by Olivia Colman, John Legend, and Conan O'Brien.
Congratulations to Laverne Cox, who is going to be the new main red carpet host for E! Network when they do their pre-shows at award shows and events. Laverne is replacing, I guess, Juliana Rancic. I've forgotten how to pronounce her name. But Laverne, that is a mighty prominent spot for a black trans woman to be hosting that network operation.
Okay. I finally watched the film that Anne talked about a couple of weeks ago, Tuma Monk, which means I miss you, from Bolivia. There's the gay couple it centers around, but you know from the get-go that one of them has died. And it's really also about the guy on the left's father coming to New York and saying, you know, I want to know about my son. I don't accept that he was gay. He wasn't gay. It goes through all that kind of stuff. I thought it was very honest and heartfelt.
Yeah, I liked the mixture of the play that the survivor was writing with the real life. I thought that was interesting. I thought the stuff about the father being rejecting was less original.
It was, but it was. It's based on a true story, and
yes,
it was originally a play.
Yes. Congratulations to Samira Wiley and Lauren Morelli, formerly of Orange Is the New Black. They have a new baby girl named George Elizabeth.
Okay.
Congratulations to them. And you remember, I don't know if this is up your alley. Are you familiar with the old movie Showgirls?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. Directed by Paul Verhoeven, now 82 years old. Well, he's got a new project, Vendetta, based on a nonfiction book called Immodest Acts, The Life of a Lesbian Nun in Renaissance Italy,
wow.
An erotic thriller.
I remember
it. It's already been made. It's premiering at Cannes next month, I guess. It opens in France in July, but not scheduled for availability here yet.
I remember the book Lesbian Nuns back in the 70s.
And that was different.
Phil, I know. Phil Donahue had them on, including Jenny Appuzzo, who headed the task force, and Jean O'Leary was a nun, wasn't she also?
Yeah, oh yes.
Oh yes. Yes. In fact, Jenny Appuzzo used to call herself Sister Virginia once in a while. So Broadway, if you've been reading the papers, is really opening up now, in starting in September and October and in December. I'm kind of disappointed they're just bringing back everything that was, but what are you going to do? You would sort of hope, coming out of a crisis, that there would be some, you know, new material that...
Not yet. And let us know what you think of the FX Pride series that starts this Friday and continues next Friday, 3 hours each time.
I am DVRing it. You will, Anne is one of the subjects, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm not, but I will. I'll watch it like this. But my segment doesn't come up till next week. But I am curious about it because I've wanted somebody to do an extended series on LGBTQ history instead of these, you know, one-off things that are never comprehensive enough. So we'll see.
Our friend Carla J.
Carla J. is in one of the episodes this Friday. So,
right.
And if you miss it this Friday on FX, it'll be on Hulu.